And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio with Alison. Good morning to you, Alison.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And Alison, you're a young mother, a young lady from the local area, and you are talking today about your own story with breast cancer.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and when did this all happen?
I'm a single mother of two children, and my journey began in December just gone, and I had actually found a lump. I would be used to it quite regularly checking myself, not on a weekly basis, but would be regular enough. And I had found a lump. The lump, I kind of gave it a week. It went itself, so I didn't really think very much after that. And by the time we got to kind of the end of February, I had found a second lump. And that felt different to me. It was hard in comparison to the first one. The first one was soft. Within the week, it didn't go. So I just said, right, we'll go to the doctor. Mm. If it turns up that it's nothing, well, then, you know, it's a bonus. I got it checked anyway. But if it is something, well, then we'll get it cleared up. The doctor wasn't happy with it at all when they had checked it over.
And did she know straight away, like just from feeling that was something?
She just, by the look of her, she just said, I'm going to send you off, Alison, to the clinic, the Bowman Breast Clinic. And I said, yeah, that's fine. So my next stage was then I had to wait for an appointment to get an ultrasound. And on the day of the ultrasound, I was literally booked for an ultrasound, and I got asked by the doctor, was I in a rush that day? And she was a lovely consultant at the time, but she wasn't my consultant. So she done the ultrasound and just said to me, are you in a rush, Alison? And I said, no. She asked, could she do a mammogram? So I done the mammogram, and after she done the mammogram, she said, would you be okay to hang on a little while longer? I'm going to do a biopsy on you. And I said, that, yeah, that's fine. Whatever we can do today and, you know, get it done, that's fine. So that's what we done. And I had to wait 2 weeks after that, and then those results came back, and I met my consultant for the first time. Such a lovely man. And he just said to me, there's no nice way of putting it. It is breast cancer. It was kind of up in the air. They knew I was stage two for definite. But stage three was left open. And it was basically just, right, we need to do a couple more tests, and then we'll be able to determine, are we stage two and we're in that bracket, or have we moved into stage three? So they done then a couple more tests, and there was, I was also being put forward as well for, as soon as they could, get me in for an operation. Mm-hmm. They knew they wanted to try do a lumpectomy. So while the operation date was coming forward, they had tests in the meantime. And with those tests, they were able to determine that, yes, it was stage three. And then we had to rule out stage four. So I got the MRI, and then with the MRI, it didn't really surprise me when I went back in for the next appointment, and he just said to me that they'd found a second lump. I just, my main question was, look, is it in the same side? And he said, yes, it is. So when they found the second lump, I said, look, we're going forward anyway for the operation. I had already got the data off them. And I just said, just remove both. He did offer, if I wanted to get that biopsied, was it malignant, was it benign? And I just said, no, there's no point. I don't want to push out the operation. I'd rather we have the date now for the operation. We'll just go in, just get the two out.
But to hear that more, it's, you've got breast cancer.
Yeah.
How did that affect you? I mean, it must have been such a shocking diagnosis. You're very young.
Yeah.
You're a young mother. You don't think, like, a young woman in her 30s that you're going to get this. Like, it's usually, I would have kind of put a bit older, you know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, mammograms you don't get till you're 50. So, you know, it seems to be, whether it's on the increase with young women, I don't know.
I've heard, it is on the increase with young women. To be honest, that day when those words were spoken to me, it wasn't a shock. I had kind of mentally prepared, because I come from a life coaching counselling background. I'd prepared since the December. My body felt off to me. I'd be very used to doing meditations, yoga, kind of concentrating on my own body and honing in on myself. And something just felt off to me, to be quite honest with you. I know with the hustle and bustle of everyday life, we're not used to asking our bodies, what's wrong? What's going on? And when you are used to doing a meditation or a yoga or, you know, anything of the sort, anything like that, in a healing way, you can feel your body is telling you a lot when you actually try to listen.
So you kind of knew there was something not right.
I just felt off. Like we were talking about this a while ago. I've suffered with migraines since I was 12. And between the space of December and the actual consultation where I got diagnosed officially, which was in June, my migraines had upped. And I've always, I can tell my migraines to a T. I can tell what kind of a migraine it's going to be within the first hour of having that migraine.
Really?
Yeah. And they've never changed. They might be slightly different, but they've never massively changed for me. But these, I had three specifically that I remember, and they were absolutely debilitating. And I would be a woman who, I might be sluggish with a migraine, but, and I wouldn't drive with a migraine because I just see white dots in front of me, so I just wouldn't feel safe driving. But they were days, there were 3 days specifically that I actually remember ringing my mother and just saying, any chance you could pop out to the house, you know? And she's very good like that, and now she knows if I ask that about my migraines, it's pretty bad when it's bad. And even those days I just could not even move without vomiting. It was shocking. And I didn't know that this was a side effect to, obviously, when you think about it, and it does actually make sense, to be fair. If you think about what anything's doing, whether it be you're going through menopause or whether it be cancer or a different disease that you're going through, your hormones and everything are changing in your body. So with the hormone peaks or dips, it's very normal that your body is experiencing this in a different way, which is why it's very important to listen to your body and say, what is going on? What do I need today? What's my body trying to tell me? And I was very in tune with that. So between December and kind of the, you know, the June, I had kept that to myself. I didn't tell anybody. I just said in my own head, for my family's sake, I just kind of thought, I suppose, I'm not going to speak about it and, you know, bring other people into this until I know there is something actually to speak about, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I felt comfortable. So I think it was roughly about a week or two before my consultation, my big consultation. Had all the tests, the MRIs, all of this was done out of the way. I'd done them all myself. And then I told my mother and my father, my immediate family, my sister, my brother, and I told, you know, they all knew that I had the consultation. My mother asked if she could come with me, so she was with me on the day. And to be fair, the lady consultant that I had seen, she was so lovely. And even though she wasn't my consultant, I knew she couldn't speak about my, you know, scenario. I knew by her face, even looking at it, she could see something.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind that. I just was transmitting, really, to be honest. But her face told me everything that my body had already said to me. Bearing in mind, between the migraines, I had got a dip in my energy levels. I'd be like an energy drink. I'm a very morning person, and I'm not a person who would lie down during the day.
Yeah,
I just continue and go to bed early that night, if that makes sense. So when I was in there, she actually said to me when I was leaving the clinic, and she said, it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring somebody with you next Friday.
Okay.
So it was like, you know, telling me without telling me, which was very nice of her. So I did. I said it to my mum. My mum asked if she could
come. In that waiting time for that week, were your nerves gone?
No.
No, you weren't. Even you're very positive. And not like even listen to what you're saying. You're a very positive person, which is very good. And that'll get you through a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the power of a positive mindset, and that is one thing that my social media followers, I think it can, your body will follow where your head tells it to go. And I just think that, like, this is my way of doing things, and there is no right or wrong way. I think that if someone feels that this is after hitting them and this news comes, it doesn't matter to me whether I'm, and my surgeon had actually said to me, who is the same person, the consultant, he had said to me, look, you're very young. And he was actually getting quite teary in one or two of my consultations. And he actually was joking about it, because I just go in all the time and I just think, what's the next target? That's the way you need to look at this. You know, what am I facing? What's next? And let's get this ticked and let's do this. And I think he appreciates that attitude. And as he said, with my nurse as well, and she's so lovely. It was basically just that, you know, it makes their job easier as well, dealing with somebody like that.
Yeah.
Now, if you are the other person on the other side and this hits you and you just don't know what to do with this information, there's no right or wrong way.
No.
Everybody's different. And this is just my way. I choose to try help people along my way. I choose to try get awareness for people to check themselves. It's so unbelievably important. And as we teach our children to wash their faces and brush their teeth, it's very, very important that when your kids get to a certain age that you'll teach them how to, you know, they need to check themselves, man or woman, because it's not uncommon in men either.
No.
It's really important to know your body. You could ask someone and they wouldn't know if they had a lump somewhere, and I'm not talking about just your breasts, I'm talking about anywhere. You should know your own body better than anybody, from head to toe, man or woman, that if something does crop up, whether it be cancer or otherwise, you know your body that well, they can go, that wasn't there.
And there is warning, as you mentioned, Alison, like there is sometimes there's warning signs when your body is not right.
Absolutely.
You know, yourself, like you might have something that's ongoing and saying, oh, but get it checked. You know, always just get it checked. You mentioned earlier you found your first lump and it disappeared.
Yeah.
Was that, did that, was that second lump that lump that had disappeared, or did they ever find out, or was that a new lump?
That's something that I can't actually answer. All I know about the first lump that I found in December was that it was a soft lump. It felt squidgy.
Oh, right. And
then when I found the second lump, it felt hard. Oh. And it was bigger. So for all I know, it could have been there. It could have maybe just, you know, because you'd be thinking stress levels, and if you have a busy schedule or whatever, thing, you might handle stress very well. But these things do affect your body. Not sleeping properly, all of these things take a toll. So when you're trying to be aware of your body, you need to kind of switch everything off. That's why me, with my meditation, it's very important to me that I keep, you know, these sort of things up. And it's why I feel that I'm able to help people, because I don't see this as a negative. I think everything happens for a reason. And possibly my reason is I'm not afraid to speak up and speak out and try help people along my way. I would not have known, I've never heard of this, that there's even 7 different kinds of breast cancer.
Is there?
We found this out the very first consultation that I had, and myself and my mother were just looking at each other going, 7 different kinds?
I know there's an estrogen driven one.
This is mine.
Is that your
mine? Feeds off estrogen.
Yeah.
And this is a test that's very, very important. It doesn't massively change anything for you as such. It will just change the route that they take with you.
Okay.
And it's called a HER2 test. So that you'll either be HER2 positive or HER2 negative. Mine was HER2 negative, thankfully. Not that it's a bad thing if you're HER2 negative, but it just changes their route that they'll take with you. That's all.
Okay. So did they explain, or did they even go through, have they seen this in young people a lot? Has it been on the increase? Because, as I said, I've heard, and they say, what, 1 in 3 women are going to get breast cancer throughout their life?
One in nine.
It has really increased over. Is it because we're living longer? Is it because we're eating processed food? What is it? Nobody knows, do they?
Well, they look at the things that are cropping up now that weren't around years ago.
Yeah.
I'm looking at even back when my grandmother and grandfather were around, and there wasn't half of what's going on. Like, the world is after changing significantly in that time. So it's very normal. Our animals, our crops are being treated and fed differently. It's really important that I would be that person that would concentrate on what I'm trying to eat. Now, bear in mind, I eat everything. There's nothing that I don't eat. I generally swing towards healthy. So I'm not going to pinpoint and say there is no reason. I just think it's kind of the luck of the draw. It is what it is. We could be here all day going, why me?
Why me?
And I just choose not to be that person. I just choose to try help people along the way. Try make people aware of the importance with yourself, checking yourself, as well as teaching your kids that it's a completely normal thing. Like when your children go into school, my own son has actually just recently there last year, he had done sex education in school. And I think that all should be part of it, that you should be taught how to, you know, and spoken about openly between your family members. Because I, even with my own experience with clients that I would be dealing with, a lot of people cage themselves in. And it's a very sad and lonely place to be. I've heard specifically men and women both talking, whether we're talking about breast cancer, whether we're talking about cancer, a disease, anxiety, depression. And it's just like they feel they do this and pull themselves back. And it's like, no, we can't openly speak about this. If it's a feeling, if it's something that you're going through, you can absolutely speak about it. It's very important to make people aware that, you know, it's an open space. And if that falls on the right ears, you'll get the support that you need. And you're going to help people if you do that.
I know you're very strong, Alison, and you're great. You've got a great, great mindset. But have you got people around you to support you when you're going through this?
Absolutely. I have an amazing family across the board, between my mother, father, brother and sister. They would be my immediate family, my best friends, friends in general. Even my backing that I have on my social media, I am getting constant messages from people all of the time with just lovely, beautiful messages of kind words and support. And, you know, I keep them updated on everything I was asked to. So if that's what they want, well, then that's what I'll do. And it's very nice that it actually says more about the people that I'm dealing with. I know they're reaching out to me because they're caring about me and what I'm going through. But I actually see that it says more about them. I'm actually very grateful for the people that I'm in contact with, whether it's, you know, a colleague, whether it's an acquaintance, a family member, a friend, anybody who's reached out to me. I've said this repeatedly on my social media. It actually says more about those people. Yeah, exactly. It says the kind of heart that they have. And I'm just blessed that I actually am surrounded by all the people that have been really with me through this journey. There was an amazing back in there on Sunday just gone, and we had done a fundraiser, and between family across the board, they just absolutely whacked it out of the park. They really did. And it's very heartwarming to see all this. And I would be someone who is very big on helping people in any way that I can. So when I seen these people coming to try, whether it be help me, show support, show love, the people who couldn't make it on the day, I was getting lovely messages from them, and I have a lot of people meeting me for coffees over the next couple of weeks. I've shown, you know,
that's exactly what everybody needs.
Like that.
And I know we can say, oh, social media is about, do you know what, in times like this, it's really good.
Social media has been really good through
COVID for a lot of people. It's a great platform, as you said, platform for your, like the likes of this, because as you say, you're helping other people. There's probably people that are maybe down the country that don't have much family, they don't have much friends, and they're going through what you're going through. And maybe that little support that you're giving, that one person, could mean a lifeline for them. Do you know what I mean? So it is great to have that. I know there's the bad effects of social media for a few people, but this is great for yourself and for your followers as well. So it's kind of the way to go. You know, you see a lot of people on social media now talking about what they're going through, and it's a comfort to people. A lot of people, even though you're going through this and it's hard, Alison, I know you're really strong and you're a great person, but you must be getting comfort as well, as you said, from your followers, and you're giving them back something
Absolutely, it's a give and take, and I always get comfort out of helping people. It makes me very happy, like coming in here today in the hopes that this will help even one person. I'm going to leave here going, that was so worth it. Like, my heart just feels happy knowing that even if one person listens to this and goes and checks themselves, it's a win. Do you know what I mean? I had done my first live after I had been diagnosed. I broke it to my immediate family first. I gave them time to process the whole thing and allow them to let that sink in. I wasn't shocked because I had had the time frame beforehand to kind of allow myself, I gave myself that time to allow myself to sink in and let it settle with me. But my body had already told me, so it was like a heads up really, without the words being spoken to me. And I just chose in that moment, I just said, you know what, I could take this and I could do this and pull myself back, but I'm going to actually use everything that I have learned through, whether it be work or whether it be, and I'm going to use it, and I'm going to use it as a tool to try help people, make people aware, and try to do the best that I can to help as many people as I can. And after my first live, I was dumbfounded, literally. I was gobsmacked by the amount of people that listened to that live, came back to me. I had 12 people, 12 after just one Facebook Live, that had reached out and said, I have never checked myself in my entire life. At that already made it worth it. I would not be someone, I'd be a very private person regarding my social, my, you know, my personal life. And it was the very first time ever on social media platform that I spoke about myself. It would be milestones of my children that I put up, snippets of my life throughout. But I'd be very private in general. And they could tell the difference on the on my life. You know, it was a big thing for the first time, was opening that door. And I think when you're uncomfortable, it's something, but you can see a benefit to that uncomfortableness.
Well, you're letting people into your life, your private life, really.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
It's a big thing, really, yeah.
And I had a choice in that moment, and I just chose push past that and just help people if you can. Speak up about it. If it helps one person, it's enough.
Well, that's so true, Alison. I mean, I have three daughters in their 20s, and you know, I keep saying, now it's time now to, you have to check yourself, because really, you know, in your 20s, and there is girls been diagnosed with breast cancer in their 20s now, so it seems to be getting younger, you know. But as I say, it's not, there's not enough out there to tell young people that they should be checking themselves.
No.
You know, and then there's smear tests as well.
Like, absolutely.
You must, I know there's been a backlog because of COVID, but you must sign up and get your smear test done and start looking after yourself, because as I said, it seems to be getting younger. And but you were saying, Alison, you always were that type of person that would have checked yourself anyway.
Do you know what? I'm very grateful, because I would have always checked myself regularly, and my daughter will be told the same. Likewise, my son, this is not just for the girls. It's very important that the guys go and say, you know, go and get a prostate check. It's extremely important across the board. It doesn't matter what we're talking about, to keep yourself as healthy as possible. If you know you've ticked the boxes, it's going to put you more at ease. And I just think that when my daughter gets that age, my son gets that age, they absolutely will be taught that, you know, this is what you need to do, and how to do it. Like, I would not have known what you just said there is actually touching on it perfectly. I wouldn't have known that there were 7 breast cancers or 7 different kinds of breast cancer. My mother didn't know this either, and I'm look at the age gap between me and my mother. That's a huge generation gap that don't know this information. On top of that, I wouldn't have known about, you know, if you're already suffering with headaches or migraines with the hormone levels going up. If that happens and it's not something that you're used to, just go and get checked. You might be getting checked for nothing, but isn't it worth it for the sake of a check?
Exactly.
Likewise, which we did speak about already, I had dry lips for the first time. Now, when I say dry lips, I mean to the point of bleeding. It was really, really bad. This comes in fluctuations. It's kind of comes in waves on me, and something might set it off. I might not have a good night's sleep or whatever. Apparently this is a big complaint from people.
Really?
Yeah.
That's one of them as well.
I was even online searching it, and actually more people than I thought were actually complaining with dry lips or dry skin. It's quite a common complaint. A lot of people would link it in with people who are on chemotherapy already. I haven't started that stage yet. I have had 3 operations. I'm due to start. I have a consultation tomorrow. It's quite a big one. And then I will be due to start my radiotherapy, chemotherapy and my treatment. So I'm not even at that stage.
You have a long road ahead, Alison.
Absolutely.
But you're in the right frame of mind to do it. And, you know, you're very strong.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, everything will go well. But it's a big shock. And I said, you've 2 young children.
Yeah.
You know, so you must be thinking, you know, you always want to be there for your kids.
Yeah.
So there's a fighter in you. I can see that anyway.
There absolutely is.
But what would you say, you know, like, I know breast cancer isn't only a lump. It can be anything in your breast.
Yeah.
Anything different at all you notice, even a bit of dry skin or something.
Absolutely.
Because
you
always associate breast cancer with a lump.
We do, yeah. And this is why this needs to be openly spoken about, because even if you link in with other women, now I got the pleasure to meet some beautiful, beautiful women. I was put in contact with them, and we're all on the same journey. We met for a coffee morning. It was so lovely. And it was just incredible to see. I'm stage 3. One of the ladies was stage 2. And we were kind of, you know, comparing our stories, comparing our symptoms, comparing different things. And it was really, really nice because we were bouncing off each other in a way. The lip thing with me, with my dry lips to the point of bleeding, was a shock. They hadn't heard of that. But it's not uncommon. Likewise, my lump was internal. Visually looking at me, you wouldn't have seen my lump. So you would have had to feel it, you know, to know that there was a lump there. One of the other ladies was the opposite. Hers was, you could see it visually. It was like basically sitting on the top of her breast. So that's why it's very important, because say, for example, it is internal. It's not something you can see. You need to know the difference so you're able to say that wasn't there.
Yeah.
Now, could it be a cyst? It could be nothing. You might have had a hectic couple of weeks. Your body is running, you know, on fumes
at
this stage.
It could be a bit run down, yeah.
Run down, exactly.
As I said, every lump doesn't mean that it's cancer, but
absolutely
get it checked anyway. Yeah. So, Alison, as I said, you have a road ahead. You're going to start chemotherapy. You might lose your hair, you don't know yet.
Yeah.
And then there's like the wigs, the cost of wigs and all that too. But then the great, like today, like they're not like years ago, the wigs used to get their like real hair and they're lovely. So you did a fundraising event last week. How did it go?
It went absolutely amazing. It was a really, really good day. It was lovely to actually see, even because we walked from the Airfield Club down on my local. We walked up to the Bowman Breast Clinic, and we had some lovely people who met us there outside the Bowman Breast Clinic. And I have to say, the staff in Bowman and in Bowman Breast Clinic have been just absolutely incredible. I had one girl that actually came in on her day off to come and meet me. Like, that's dedication.
It's a lovely clinic, isn't it?
It's
we were over there for the opening
clinic.
Day. We went over here from Near FM, and we had the ladies of a choir. They've set up a choir from the breast clinic.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Great. So they've done the nip and, you know, nip in the sea or nip and dip or whatever.
Yeah.
They've done that as well. There's a great little community like
there. There really is.
And I'm glad you've meeting up with people and talking, because there's so much support from the ladies down there.
Yeah.
And they had a day a couple of years ago before COVID, it was down in Clontarf Castle, like a fashion show.
Oh, lovely.
So there's always something. So do keep in touch and, you know, keep in with them. Because as you said, they're going through what you're going through.
Yeah.
So it's on, you know, you're both going on that journey.
You need that. You need a different set of ears. It's all well and good having your own support system around you. I think it's very important to link in with someone who is going through the same as you, because you can help each other on that journey and, you know, bounce ideas off each other and what the difference is.
And
it's falling on a different set of ears.
And would you have a nurse to ring now when you start chemo if you're feeling sick, or do you have that one person you can link in with?
Even listening to you there saying make sure that I keep linking in, I actually don't have to keep linking in with them. They're so on top of everything from day one. I mean, with blood tests and, you know, ultrasounds, MRIs, and then to my consultant, my nurse, the general staff in between the hospital and between Bowman Breast Clinic, everybody has been so lovely. I can't highly recommend going there to the Bowman Breast Clinic, because another girl that I know, she's actually going to a different hospital, and it's not been the same experience.
Yeah.
And you know, you're going to get that across the board. They're run off the feet, I get that. I'm just really grateful that my experience has been lovely.
It's state of the art, isn't it? It's a lovely clinic.
It's and absolutely beautiful.
It must be one of the top ones, and I'm delighted you're getting the help there, because they seem to be, I've spoken to people over there and they seem to be really, really good like that, which is like keeping in touch.
Yeah.
And you know, they're there for you if you need them.
Yeah, it's just a nice sensation when you even go in. It's a nice kind of vibe when you go in. You get, even from the receptionist on the desk, like everybody is just so lovely. And then when you go into the room then and you're dealing with someone who's just very thorough, and you know, my nurse checks in with me all the time. I have her number that if I need anything on a date or something crops into my head, I have a question. I've had a social worker from the hospital who's been on to me, absolutely lovely lady. And it's really nice. They couldn't have covered my back there with anymore, to be honest.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
They're really, really good. So you have a big appointment tomorrow.
Yes.
And you're going to start your chemotherapy and you're going to be fine. I know you're going to be good.
You've
got a great mindset. So just give the listeners your Instagram or your social media details if they want to.
Yeah, if they're better off going over onto my Facebook, they can follow me if they want. It's Alison O'Driscoll. And they're more than welcome. I keep everybody updated on my social media anyway. And there is already a huge, huge backing with people. I do keep them up to date. I don't like kind of hide anything. I fill them in on everything that's happening, because I think that I will actually help people.
You will, so, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
And maybe you'll keep in touch with us, let us know how you're doing.
I will, of course.
Even if you can't come into the studio, we can do it over the phone, just to keep our listeners updated on how you're doing, because you're an inspiration. You're a great girl.
Thanks very much.
You're very strong, you have two young kids, and the work you do, and you're still doing it.
Yeah.
So you've a bit of a road ahead, but you'll do it.
I will.
And
absolutely.
Alison, we could talk for hours and
we could.
Time is coming to the end. But listen, thanks a million for talking to
no
us today.
At all.
And
thanks very much.
Alison, do keep in touch, and we'll be checking up on you and seeing how you're going. But as I said, keep in touch with the team over there in Bowman. They're great.
Yeah, they are. They're amazing.
So Alison, your social media, Alison O'Driscoll, if you want to follow.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a million.
This is Near FM
90.3.